There.
Soul is a word that refers to the immaterial essence, animating principle or actuating cause of an individual life. It is the principle of life, feeling, thought, and action in humans, regarded as a distinct entity separate from the body and commonly held to be separable in existence from the body in many religions. And in many religions, the soul is believed to give life to the body and to live forever. In philosophies and religions of the world, the soul has been one of the fundamental areas of interest with endless discussions, bountiful theories, and beliefs since ancient times. In keeping with the second objective of the philosophy of theosophy, which is to encourage the comparative study of religion, philosophy, and science, thus fostering a deeper understanding of different perspectives, we thought a brief look in the rearview mirror at some of these theories and beliefs would help in laying the groundworks for the theosophical understanding and teachings of the soul. And perhaps in looking back, we will find that there is a commonality to be gleaned from all the different beliefs. So let's begin with Islam. Islam, the sound Ra, Ruh, is created by God and returns to God after death. The afterlife is determined by one's deeds, leading to paradise or punishment. Hinduism, the soul, Atman, is eternal and undergoes reincarnation based on karma. The ultimate goal is moksha, or liberation from the cycle of rebirth. Christianity, the general beliefs in general, Christianity in general believes the soul is considered immortal, distinct from the body. It is believed to be judged after death, leading to heaven, hell, or purgatory, depending on one's faith and actions. Buddhism. Unlike Hinduism, Buddhism teaches no self. That's in quotes, no self. It's the doctrine of no self. And it means that there is no permanent soul. Instead, a consciousness is shaped by karma and rebirth continues until nirvana is attained. Now we go to the ancient Egyptian beliefs. The soul has multiple components, including ka, life force, and ba, personality. After death, the soul will be judged by Osiris or Osiris, determining its fate in the afterlife. Greek philosophy, Socrates envisioned the soul to possess a rational faculty, its practice being man's almost godlike activity. Plato believed the soul to be the person's real self, an immaterial and immortal dweller of our lives that continues and thinks even after death. Aristotle sketched out the soul as the first actuality of a naturally organized body. Form and matter arranging itself and allowing natural beings to aspire to full actualization. In short, Plato viewed the soul as immortal and separate from the body. While Aristotle saw it as the form of a living being, inseparable from its physical existence. All right, so that was a sh little sketch of all the various, not all, I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of religions, if not thousands, but that's a sketch on some of the major beliefs. So now that we have refreshed our memories with just a few of the numerous other philosophical and religious theories and beliefs on the soul, let us unveil, if you would, the theosophical teachings of the soul. We are fairly certain that those hearing me today have indeed read The Ocean of Theosophy by Mr. Judge. Perhaps some have not, but for those who have not, we are trying to familiarize yourself with the words from chapter one. Okay, so here's a quote. It's not very long, it's about 10 lines. And this is a quote from The Ocean of Theosophy, which we are studying now. That man possesses an immortal soul is the common belief of humanity. To this, Theosophy adds that he is soul, and further, that all nature is sentient, that the vast array of objects and men are not mere collections of atoms fortuitously thrown together and thus without law, evolving law, but down to the smallest atom, all is soul and spirit, ever evolving under the rule of law, which is inherent in the whole. And just as the ancients thought, so does Theosophy, that the course of evolution is the drama of the soul, and that nature exists for no other purpose than the soul's experience. We just want to reiterate that last line. The course of evolution is the drama of the soul, and that nature exists for no other purpose than the soul's experience. End of quote. So the soul is pictured in the ancient teachings as the real self of man. That's self with a capital S. There are many different conceptions of what man is and what the soul is. From Christian teachings, we are led to believe that man has a soul and may save it or lose it. The idea is generally held in the West. But the conception of the ancients and that of Theosophy, which is a representation of this eternal idea, is different. The teaching is that man is soul. That soul is, in fact, the one who perceives. That it is vision itself, pure and simple, unmodified, not subject to change. And that it looks directly on ideas. This idea presents the fact that the real man, in whatever condition he may be existing, whether asleep or awake, whether in a physical body during his lifetime, or whether in another form of body after death, or before birth, or before the existence of this planet or the solar system, that this real man was the same perceiver that is now, the same soul all the time, the creator of all the conditions that have arisen, the intelligent creator of this universe in connection with all the beings below him and all the beings above him. Man thus forms part of one great brotherhood and sisterhood, we would add, and that this bond of brotherhood extends throughout from the lowest being to the very highest. They are all souls. Even the very lowest forms of matter, and none the less souls, for in the lowest form of matter is the power to perceive, act, and gain intelligent experience, but not self-conscious. So it's latent. It's latent in the other kingdoms, self-consciousness. And there is intelligence in all the kingdoms and the potentiality to come up to the human state. Man thus forms part of one great brotherhood. And this bond of brotherhood extends throughout, from the lowest being to the very highest. So taking this conception that the self is the same in each being, no matter how great that being may be, nor how low, we get another idea in regard to soul. That soul also represents the acquired experience gained through evolution by each and every class of being. Each individual being is not only self, but in addition, the acquired experience gained through contact with all other beings. Realizing that there are individual souls, we can see that the only difference between souls are in their degrees of acquired intelligence. Taking the soul from this point of view, then, as the acquired experience of individuals, when we speak of God or the Oversoul, the universal Oversoul, we simply mean that the acquired experiences or wisdom of every soul and all souls. This would be the meaning of the sentence in the Bhagavad Gita that the self is wisdom itself, the object of wisdom, and that which is to be attained by wisdom. Full consciousness of the union of all souls or spiritual identity. Christian teaching by St. Paul is that man is composed of three principles. They are body, soul, and spirit. Theosophy says, good start, but there's really seven. The seven principles of man in Theosophy are deeply connected to the concept of soul, as they represent the different layers of human existence from the physical to the spiritual. Here's how they relate. So, the Christian teaching supported by St. Paul is that man, again, is composed of three principles. All right, this is a repeat, sorry. So in Theosophy, here are the seven principles. The first being the physical body, which the Sanskrit term is rupa. And the physical body is the outermost shell, but it is not the soul itself. It is simply a temporary vessel through which the soul experiences the material world. Then the etheric double, or the astral, linga sarira is the Sanskrit, which means design body. So it is the subtle energy body that serves as the blueprint for the physical form, but it is still distinct from the soul. Next, we have the vital principle known as prana or jiva. It is the life force that animates the body, allowing the soul to function within the physical realm. Next is the desire body, known as kama manas. This is where emotions and desires reside, influencing the soul's experiences and karmic lessons. Now we're getting into the higher principles. They were the lower four. The three higher, which are the eternal pilgrim and perishable, are these, starting with mind, known as manas in Sanskrit. Now, manas is the thinking principle. which is divided into lower mind, which is our personal intellect, and the higher mind, which is spiritual wisdom. The higher aspect of manas is closely linked to the soul's evolution. Spiritual soul is buddhi. It is the true essence of the soul, guiding moral and spiritual growth. It is the bridge between the individual consciousness and the divine. And highest of all is Atma, divine spirit. It is the eternal divine essence, which is the highest aspect of the soul, connecting it to the universal soul of all. So your comments and questions will now be addressed by the chair. And again, the topic for discussion is what is soul?
Thank you. We did want to start out before I start taking questions. And this is from The Eternal Verities by Robert Crosby. And it's an article that he gave a lecture and his students compiled all his lectures together into this book. And it's called Man Visible and Invisible. And it's on page 275. The real teaching is that the man himself, as a spiritual being, descends from the plane of spirituality or spiritual self-consciousness step by step through all the stages of condensation of matter, that he meets the uprising tide of form from the lower kingdoms, and when the most perfect form of all has been brought to its highest stage of development, he enters it. Not until the invisible man enters the physical instrument, and the invisible man is what was said in the reading about the higher principles. So that's what's meant by the invisible man. Until the invisible man enters the physical instrument, could there be humanity at all? So we, as human beings, are the product of that higher divine spirit of all the knowledge of a past immensity of time, and also of all that lies in the lower kingdoms, which constitute our lower nature. And we will be getting into the idea that the lower kingdoms also have soul. Man's higher nature is not divisible. It is constant, eternal, and true. The lower nature is impermanent and changing, but the invisible man within is the one who makes the changes, who forces on the changes, and who gathers experience and knowledge through them. So we just wanted to read that because we thought it brings a good idea as to how we came to be, how we are. So we'll go on now with the meeting itself, and we have a hand up. So,
I guess in that reference to the teachings of Paul and Christianity of there being body, soul, and spirit, the author of that work goes on to say that soul, being between spirit and body, must therefore have faculties, powers, and therefore responsibilities. So as our overall theme is psychism and spirituality, Can we see these, or how do we see these as faculties or powers of soul, psychism, and spirituality?
So when we think of the powers of the soul, we look at the idea of compassion, of love. You know, those types of things can be looked at as being the powers. And as we progress along in our spiritual path, these powers will develop. And even it is said with different psychic powers as well, that as long as they are used for the as long as they are used for good, they can be considered spiritual powers. Clairvoyance, clairaudience, second sight, those are all considered powers of the soul. But the expectation, though, is that they are used for good and that no money will be exchanged in for the use of those powers. Are you commenting on this? Okay. Anybody else want to add? Okay. So, yes, here at Theosophy Hall.
Earlier in the talk, it was mentioned that Buddhism has the idea of no self, possibly no soul. And in Voice of the Silence, many scholars say that it encapsulates the essence of Mahayana Buddhism. So is H.P. Blavatsky suggesting the possibility of no soul? Or is it more nuanced?
We think that it was just an example of the different types of soul that is being mentioned here in the talk. He says, and perhaps in looking back, we might find there's a commonality to be gleaned from all the different beliefs. And so we think that it was just not actually saying that it is that HPB is saying this. It's just saying that that is what Buddhism is. There a comment back here?
Well, all is soul, and soul is one. So when we're talking about, sometimes we talk about animal soul, human soul, and spiritual soul, but it's all one. It's better to use the word aspects.
Okay, thank you for
It's
that.
better instead of it's because then we're getting into compartmentalizing soul, and it really is one that has many as that has aspects.
And we want to put out, oh, JCS, you had a comment?
Yeah, what came to mind is that Blavatsky was trying so hard to draw our concentration to the concept of no thing, that there is this great unknowable absolute that is the one universal reality, and that from that no thing, that absolute with no attributes, emanates, comes, reflects, whatever verb you want to try to use, all of manifestation. And it's in the development of the co degrees of consciousness that we have this array of aspects of potentiality of soul. But the no thing notion, the unknowable being above and beyond any deification, actually belongs to all of the great world religions.
Thank you. Thank you for that explanation. So we're looking at the idea of the no self as the no thing, and spirit is, as was said in the comment, spirit kind of comes down into manifestation, as was said in this reading, descends from the plane of spirituality or spirit self-consciousness. So that's what we're seeing in regards to manifestation. And as manifestation becomes more dense, then when it gets to a certain point, then the higher self goes into the form then. SL?
Yes, also, we think, as was pointed out, that there are two aspects of Buddhism, what we call the Hinayana, the southern schools, and the northern schools, Mahayana, which are very similar in their teaching to what we hear in the Voice of the Silence. And in the Hinayana system, when it says no self, it means that the personal idea of self, that I am this person with these qualities, that's an illusion. It doesn't really exist. It's temporary. It's a temporary illusion. But the Mahayana school brings out the idea that, yes, this temporary self is an illusion, but there is the reality of that individual soul or perceiver developing over the course of evolution. So we really have to take the two together to understand the entire picture.
Thank you. We wanted to put a question out to everybody. So what exactly what is the difference between the self and the soul? Is there a difference?
What is the definition of self?
Well, that's part of the self is the is well, that's what the question basically is. Yes.
Well, there's three selves too. And English is such a limited language when it comes to metaphysics. Sanskrit is a great tongue, but we don't speak Sanskrit. So there's the self with all small letters, there's the self with capital S, and then there's a self with all caps. So it would be most easily explained as the lower self, what we know as ourselves, the higher self, which is our higher nature, and we're trying to reach up to, and then all S, S-E-L-F, all caps, is the self of all. And in a sense, that's very simplistic, but I'm sure others can elaborate on that.
Yes.
Well, sometimes it's helpful to understand these notions when we see them in terms of their contradistinctions. So if we look at the self of all as just essentially without attributes, and when we say the self of all, we're not talking about the absolute unknowable divine. We're talking about that which manifests from the divine as the first logos, the one, the first. We are identical with that. So if that's the self, all caps, what is soul? Well, the same question could be asked. What's the difference between air and wind? Wind has qualities, it has force, it has function, it's the effect of cause, but there's air within it 100%. You can have air with wind or without wind. So if soul is comprised of spirit, but it's more so in the sense that it has function, it has responsibility, it has the potential for development and evolution, but it needs, okay, so soul needs to be expressed. It needs something to express itself through. So the spiritual side of soul is, it would be whatever form it's expressing itself through, whether it's a plant, a human being, or a star. So the difference between, all right, so we'll just leave that.
So can we say then that when one is talking about the self, that that is the vehicle for soul?
We would say that soul is the vehicle for self. Just as the...
Oh, soul is the vehicle for self.
Is the vehicle for Atma.
Yes.
Mind is the vehicle for Buddhi, which is wisdom, right? And so on. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Asel, did you have your hand up? Okay.
So we're talking about the difference between, wasn't the original question the difference between the soul and the self? Is that it?
Yes.
So have we exhausted that yet?
Well, it's not needed. You know, there's a lot of good things.
There's much more.
Yeah.
Right, so that's why we study, because there's always more to be revealed. There's so many layers.
And it is used, and in some of the readings that we looked at for today, it talked about how many people, even many theosophists, kind of use the words soul and self interchangeably. Yes, in the back.
All right, so earlier, one of the questioners said something about soul has function. And power. So, all right. So, do we use the soul, or does the soul use us?
Do we use the soul, or does soul use us?
In well, fulfilling of our
should they not also be mutual?
We are soul.
We are soul. That's the whole thing. And so, we can actually say that when we're looking at the three higher principles with mind or manas. Being the, you know, what we look at as being ourselves, we are using that portion of our higher nature. And mind is broken up into two separate, but it's all one. There's a higher aspect and there's a lower aspect, but it is all one mind. One manas. So we have to use the lower, actually, which is in contact with the lower four, which are the lower four characteristics of man, because this is how we learn our lessons. We have to be in touch with the material world, so that we can learn our lessons. And it is mind that does that. And then when we get to a certain point, then it will merge along with Buddhi, and which is intuition. It is the storehouse of all experience. And then we're looking at a higher functioning then. SL?
Well, in the presentation of the ideas of soul in the Ocean of Theosophy, the author says that the care of the soul is of vital importance and it's something we need to do every day. Well, what is the soul that is being cared for and who is doing the caring?
What? I'm sorry, do you mind repeating that?
In the Ocean of Theosophy, it says that the care of the soul is something that is very vital and needs to be attended to daily. So what is being cared for in the soul? What are we doing when we say care for the soul? And who is doing the caring of the soul?
Who is doing the caring of the soul? So we think that the idea then is, as was mentioned before, when we're looking at this idea of mind, mind is where the decisions, the choices, the responsibility, all of that lies. So we think in response to the questioner, we think that it is mind that is doing the caring. And we we have to look at the idea of looking at higher ideas and caring for everyone and looking at how things are around us in our environment, and the idea of, you know, the universal brotherhood was mentioned in the Declaration, and that is one of the main ideas in Theosophy, is that we need to do for others, and that's how we progress. So this idea of caring for the soul would be maybe meditating, reading higher type books, being careful of what we watch on TV and the movies that we go, and even being in crowds can sometimes be detrimental. So there's a lot that can be done in regards to caring for the soul. And who does the caring? It's like the lower, the mind again does the caring. So yes, in the back, Theosophy Hall.
Well, devotional devotional books, which are meditative in nature, that really give you seed thoughts to carry through the day, such as preeminently the Voice of the Silence. And then the Bhagavad Gita, Light of Asia, Light on the Path. There's several. So, yeah, we need to, I mean, we shouldn't oversimplify, but we will. If we don't take care of our car, if we never put air in the tires, if we don't check the oil, now that's what we need to do for ourselves. We need to take care. You know, avoid people that we know are negative. I mean, don't go out of our way. You know, I mean, there's people in our life that are that way, but it's just, if we don't take care of ourselves, we're going to run aground. And
thank you. Yes.
I have a lot of thoughts on shamanism. I think the idea of avoiding negative people, watching where you go, what you watch on TV, sounds more like coddling of the soul than a karmic release of the soul. And I think the predominant intention needs to be united with the soul. So if you are in a situation in which there's a negative person, your soul is not then attached to the energy of that person. You are able to stay within your energy, and then you are not only helping yourself and your soul, but also that person by doing by example.
Yes, thank you. That's a good point. And we would add to that, that because mind is dual, there's that lower aspect and the higher aspect, that the lower aspect can be affected very readily by negativity in the world. Whereas with that higher mind, we can help others, because people are going to see that we act differently, we think differently, we express ourselves differently. So it is important that we keep on top of where we're going, who we're going with, what kind of experiences we're going to have. And by being with somebody, and if we're functioning from a little higher spiritual aspect, then people, I mean, thoughts are things, and they can be manifested, they can be expressed, And many times people can feel that. They can experience that. So there's a lot of different ways that we can help others. Yes.
There's a chat, but also, isn't the Bhagavad Gita an allegory for depicting the difference between the self and the soul, where Krishna potentially represents the higher self or soul, mm-hmm. and Arjuna being the personal self? Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, the Bhagavad Gita is based, I mean, when one just reads it the way it's written, it sounds like it's a war, but it is a war. But it's a war between the higher and the lower self. Theosophy Hall, yes. We'll do the chat.
So this discussion emanates from that question, if care of the self, we have to take care of the soul. Who's doing the taking care of? If we look at it, within great nature and within the human being, there are three souls. There's the animal soul, which in any animal is that which drives it. It's the desire, it's the bio, whatever kind of do what you need to do to live and have babies. The animal soul in the human being is just as real, but it's not, hopefully, in control of the human being. Unfortunately, for many human beings, it is in control. The next step, the second one, is the human soul. You know, so it's not our emotions, but our mind. And our, you know, as children, emotionally, we need to control ourselves so that our mind will develop properly. And all part and parcel to that is respect for authority, is sacrifice your time and put studies in place and do your homework to develop the brain. And this makes the brain the right vehicle, the best vehicle it can be for the mind, because the mind uses the brain. That is taking care of the mind. When a child studies and develops his brain, he's taking care of the human soul. So here in Theosophy, what we're striving toward is the spiritual soul. What do we do to take care of this spiritual soul? Well, we use our brains to think right, from universal causes, for universal purposes, so to recognize, you know, the unity in the diversity, not recognize diversity, just recognizing diversity is looking at separateness. We have mm-hmm. to see the unity first. And when we think right, from universal theosophical, which is to say the ideas of the ancients, it's not actually taking care of our spiritual soul. It is, but what it's really doing is it's taking care of and developing the faculties in ourselves so that the spiritual soul can use those faculties and find expression into the world to fulfill its purpose, just like the mind needs to use the brain and fulfill its purpose. But if you never learn to read and write and do math, then it's not going to have quite the opportunities in the world than it would have if the child had been more disciplined.
Chat?
Yes, thank you. Where does the reincarnating soul enter the physical body? At birth, conception, or sometime between conception and birth? So when does the reincarnating soul enter the physical body? Yes, Theosophy Hall.
Well, it's present with the mother before the egg is even, before it's inseminated. So it's awaiting, the statement in the philosophy is, it is present with the mother for a period of time prior, awaiting for the conditions to be right. And so the egg cannot even germinate, even if a sperm hits it, can't germinate without the presence of the soul and the magnetism of it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes, yes,
yeah. So talking about the animal soul and then like the higher, to me that sounds like it's just certain levels of consciousness. And what I'm gathering from this conversation is that the soul is in essence just a higher level of consciousness, to use the word higher, just for like explaining purposes. However, I'm noticing like duality here, talking about like higher or lower, good or bad. And I think that it's important to note that those words, as they're typically defined, can be confusing, because what we necessarily consider bad is something that's unfavorable. However, unfavorable things can help us find what we do want. For example, if you see someone screaming in public, they're not acting as their higher self, but then they can help you act like your higher self, because you see that and you think, well, that's not a good look. I don't want to do that.
Yes.
But then, like, the idea of, like, you need to be good in order to work through your karma. That person doesn't necessarily look like they're being good because they're screaming at someone. But what if this is them working through their karma, being
it is,
for
yeah.
other people to help work through theirs? And then you get into the level of self, well, what, how much are we available for others?
That's one of the interesting things with reincarnation, is that that when the soul is going to be reincarnated, then there can be experiences where it will reincarnate into a family that is a very difficult life. And the soul needs to do that for whatever experience it needs to learn. Plus, the, you know, people do not live in, you know, isolation. Normally, we guess there are those that do live in isolation, but normally we don't live in isolation. We live with others. So that family where that soul who might be disabled in some way could come into that family, because the family needs to learn the lessons as well. And also to comment on the idea of higher and lower, it in the philosophy isn't saying that it's higher or lower. How can we put it? Well, the lower mind is in conjunction with what is called kama, which is the passions and desires. So it is connected with that. That is lower mind, because it's connected with these lower ideas, feelings, expressions. And the higher is connected with buddhi, which, as we said earlier, is we just lost the word, but it is connected with the higher spiritual life. Yes, in the back.
Well, as far as good and bad and evil, and it is said that light and darkness are the world's eternal ways. And what considers something that is horrible, or that we consider bad and undesirable, may be exactly what we need. Because, see, our experiences are, you know, what is pleasing to the soul may not be pleasing to the personality. We may hate it, rebel against it. This I do not want. But it's actually exactly what we need. And it's what our soul wants, because we need to learn the lessons. And we just want to say that as far as, we don't want to keep company with people that are going to drag us down or surrender our beliefs just for acceptance. Of course, Theosophy is altruism. We want to help everyone we can, but we're not to go chasing after people that are in dire circumstances because we think we can save them. And
well, the Bhagavad Gita talks about doing your duty and doing it without expecting anything in return. But it also says that that duty that we're expected to acknowledge is coming to us because of our karma, because of the choices that we have made in the past. So whatever comes to us then is ours. And we need to be able to make those choices to affect our future karma. JCS.
Can we revisit an earlier chat that asked about when soul actually connects with the physical?
Sure.
And, what came to mind is that the comment, the reply, was magnificent in the emphasis that soul is, the eternal is, and it pre-exists any level of physicality, from molecular all the way through to the actual physical form. And for anybody that wants to take that concept of this gradual soul is, it's eternal, and all of the conditions, physical, invisible, visible, all of those have to be readied before soul can express itself. If you look at The Secret Doctrine, Volume 2, pages 149 and 150, where HPB is bringing forth these ancient teachings about the earlier races, the second, the third, etc. She makes a very clear summary statement that the monad, the cosmic essence of soul, is destined to animate future races when they're ready for the new transformation. And so soul is, and at the cosmic level as well as the human level, it becomes more and more possible for it to express itself on this plane as the forms and the substantiality become conditioned. So soul is, it exists with the mother in this particular round of conception, but it may not be able to fully express conscience and self-consciousness until around the age of seven or so, when all of the lower aspects of the physical incarnation are readied. And again, that's SD volume 2, pages 149 and 150.
Thank you very much for that. And we are at the end of our class. And we thank everybody and have a good weekend. Well, it's almost over.